Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Greg Patton and Ken Copley continue their look inside the invisible war on the saints and how we can, through Christ, be victors, not victims. Here's Greg Patton.
Invisible War of the Saints, victor or victim, you will want a copy. Well, I thought we would start with maybe a couple of questions reference to things that come our way. There are thousands of questions, by the way, on every conceivable front reference to spiritual warfare. So we're just going to have Dr. Copley ask a couple of questions and I'll answer them as best I can. So with that, make it sound real official, Doc.
Dr. Patton, for many Christians, spiritual warfare is an offbeat or even weird subject. Some believers do not even accept the idea that Satan or his demons exist, or that they possess any power to attack and afflict us in this age. What do you say to that?
Doc, knowing you as I do, it had to be hard for you to even ask that question. Let's get to it here. Actually, I think we could answer this in one word. Unfortunately, it's called ignorance. Seriously. Tragically, when it comes to the invisible war on the saints, Christians are big on ignorance. In my meetings, when we talk about this, I hone in on two areas. Number one, this thing of ignorance. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices, Satan, the demons' devices today. The question has to be, if you are ignorant, then what's going to happen? The other one is Ephesians 4:27, give no place, no ground, no territory to the enemy. Again, the question has to be, if you do, what's the consequence? Probably not 1 in 10 believers would identify Satan and his demons as a real enemy, much less know how to fight that enemy. The average Christian is oblivious to spiritual conflict. The average Christian does not possess that vital life-saving information on how to overcome Satan, how to overcome these demonic forces, how to get victory in your own life. And consequently, the enemy uses even born-again, spirit-filled believers as his emissaries to destroy the very work of God and things that we're trying to do. Did you get that? If not, let me say it again. The enemy uses believers, and that's exactly what happens in so many churches, if not the majority across America. Satan is real. He is alive and well, and he is doing battle, whether we realize it or not. That's a very short answer, but it's elongated and gets more intense. Really in a whole chapter of Invisible War on the Saints.
Okay, here's another one. Is spiritual warfare a common occurrence for Christians, or is it simply a scare tactic to keep Christians in line?
Let me answer there with Bible. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Nope. Love, power, sound mind. But most people, first confronted with spiritual warfare in any degree, it is frightening. And again, that's where truth, knowing the truth, will set you free and put you in command with the authority of Jesus Christ. I believe every church, several people, every church, small, big, has some problems. How to deal with those things, that's the problem, because most do not know how to deal with it, so people go on suffering. Maybe I've got a mental problem. Maybe it's just me and sin. We'll talk about that one later. Scare people. Who wants to scare people? We want to help people. Jesus Christ said that he came to set the captive free, heal the brokenhearted. Tell me that's not happening in your church, maybe in your family, with different folks that you know. How can you help them? Do you want to? See, I think here's the problem. We talk a good story, but we don't know what to do. I was in a church with a pastor nationally known. Talks on all the major topics, from prophecy and everything happening in the world today, Satan and his demons. And yet more than one family came to me during a meeting and said, hey, we brought this to pastor's attention, and for whatever reason, never followed up, said that he would, but never followed up on it in helping us. Well, again, either the pastor didn't know what to do, or he was afraid to do anything. Again, that's what we got to get over. Well, we got to be able to help people and give them proper biblical instruction on how to win this invisible war. I know what you're going to ask next.
What dangers do you see in studying spiritual warfare? What dangers do you see in not studying spiritual warfare?
Well, I know you share these thoughts with me, Dr. Copley. I say it all the time. You stare at Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus Christ and glance occasionally at the enemy. When I first was confronted with demonic spirits and the head demon called Abaddon in the young woman I was working with, I was at a total loss. Read 119 books on the topic of spiritual warfare, starting with The Adversary and Overcoming the Adversary by Dr. Mark Bubeck. We became friends and went out to his meeting, attended by thousands in Sioux City, Iowa. What a great ministry he had. And even though he's gone to glory, is still having through his books on spiritual warfare. But the problem can be is you go to seed on that thing like anything else, and it just overtakes you. At one point in our ministry, my wife asked, do we have to just keep at this? Maybe we just need to stop. She was talking to me. Maybe, Greg, you need to stop working in this area. There's so much pressure. And a lot of that was my fault. Came about with working in the flesh in some areas and, again, being ignorant of his devices after studying. And now we're down the thing here, 4 decades down the road here in spiritual warfare. I'm at real peace in being able to assist people. It's just like anything else. Just another tool in the spiritual toolbox. Every pastor, every evangelist, every missionary, anyone working in Christian service should have at your fingertips. And the more you work in it, more peace comes knowing that really it's the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, not you. You're his instrument. And with that, oh, you'll sleep very well at night as you help people. Now, let me answer the second part to your question. The danger of not studying and working in spiritual warfare. When I met that university president that called me an opportunist and a charlatan, told me that if I didn't stop this, my ministry could be destroyed. Not only that, I could lose my family and we could all lose our lives. Well, boy, that's pretty strong. But even then, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this isn't right. And I just decided we're going nowhere. I thought this brother was going to help me. Many pastors thought that he was going to help me. And he refuted about everything that I had said and done to this point in my ministry. I ask this oftentimes on Hello World. What in the world is going on? That's what I was asking. And here's the problem. I ended our conversation with Dr. Blank. I like what I'm doing for the Lord better than what you are not doing for him. Never spoke to this man again to this day. Isn't that sad? I see you have a whole big sheet of questions there. Let's ask the big one.
Preacher, do you think a Christian can be demon-possessed?
We get that, as I'm sure you do, Doc, constantly, and no, absolutely not. But it's an amazing thing. People accuse me of that, of all, yeah, Pastor Patton, Evangelist Patton believes you can be demon-possessed as a Christian. Never, never have I said that. I am possessed by Almighty God. The Holy Spirit is in me. No. I'm a possession of God, not the devil. But here's the problem. When people begin acting like they are unsaved or acting like they are possessed, then what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with it? So as we attempt to help those people, aha, he thinks that he, she, over there has a demon and he, she, it needs to be delivered from that. Well, I would believe in that deliverance part, absolutely. But here's how I answered in brief. And again, it's in the book, The Invisible War on the Saints, at length. The major question I continue to ask, if God says give no place to the devil, what happens when you do? Did you get the coronavirus by any chance? You've ever had the flu bug? And, well, that's a silly question. Have you ever been sick? You had the flu, okay? Did it possess you? No, but you had the flu. My answer is pretty simple here. I think you can have a demon. Doesn't possess you, but it can control you, including your very vocal cords. Well, I've been spoken to by many a Christian minister and Christian worker in a voice that was not their own. Now, the answer some would give, well, that person simply was not saved. How ridiculous is that answer? Of course they're saved. They have a demonic problem, and they need to get some help. So I answered that, Dr. Copley. Now, What would your response be if someone said, Dr. Copley, can I be demon-possessed? I'm a child of God.
Unfortunately, the term demon-possessed never appears in the original manuscripts or of the Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic from which the Old and New Testament are translated. It became popular in old version of the Bible and was actually a mistranslation of a word that should have been better translated, demonized. So no, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed because possession implies ownership. It's a concept very foreign to the scriptures. However, a Christian can be oppressed by the devil. We have a lady that was in the book of Matthew. She was bent over double. She was a daughter of Abraham. And when Jesus cast a spirit out of her, she was immediately healed. Here's a daughter of Abraham, a believer who was oppressed, affected by the enemy. In spiritual warfare, it's easy to get off track, to think we're alone. We're out there playing the Lone Ranger, and it's up to us to succeed or fail. For the Christian, the greatest truth of all in such warfare is that we're not lone rangers and we're not alone. Jesus is with us in every trial and every battle, ready to offer counsel and help and the power to overcome. Praise God that He has raised up people and is raising up people in this age to help those who are oppressed.
Another one of those things that I get asked frequently is, all these years, what has been your worst situation you've been involved with as you've battled the enemy? And I certainly have to say, the very first one, wouldn't you know it? I mean, it was awful. This spirit, leading spirit in this young woman, Abaddon, and hundreds of demons in her while she cried out for help. I had no idea what I was doing. So many times that I recorded 60 hours of dealing with this gal and all of these spirits. One of the most frightening times came when I was getting tough. I think I was tired. I got in the flesh and I was on the phone. This woman was hundreds of miles away. We're talking on the phone and I just was reminding the enemy that he was beaten and that his leader, Satan, was beaten. It was something else. The spirit talking to me got testy, and I got testy back, and he said, how about I send Moloch to your home there in Indiana? Let's see what happens then. Fear, here we go, grip me. Could this happen? And if so, what's going to happen? It wasn't 10 seconds. Our home, a farmhouse in Cherubusco, Indiana, began to shake like an earthquake. It was scary. My wife screaming out, what in the world is happening? What are we going to do? The only thing I knew how to do was, again, plead the blood of Jesus Christ and come at the enemy who was creating this chaos in the name of Jesus Christ. And I prayed aloud. Guess what happened, beloved? The moment I prayed that prayer, it all stopped instantly. The authority and the power of Almighty God, it still amazes me to this day. And by the way, this chapter called My Story, you read all about this and what God did. It was truly amazing and thrilling to see God work. He's still doing the same thing today. So, Dr. Copley, you've already shared that there have been thousands of counseling sessions with you. Could you name one or two that were, well, extraordinary, really out there?
I sure can. When I was still pastoring in central Minnesota and becoming acquainted with the whole warfare scene, a lady from a large city in Minnesota came to see me, and she walked into my office, sat down, and as she sat down, a male voice spoke through her vocal cords and said, Kenneth Copley, I am here to destroy you. I walk true and forth, fro in the earth, and I will destroy you. This was something I'd never faced before in my life. It was totally out of the realm of anything I'd ever heard. I just prayed out loud in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to be silent. And he shut up. And then we were able to walk through principles of freedom. She had grown up in a satanic home. There were a lot of things that had happened to her. She was definitely a believer in Jesus Christ. Crystal clear testimony. She was still having some struggles with seeing into the spirit world. She was hearing voices. And as we prayed, voices became less and less loud, and finally they stopped. And she also had a physical malady that went away, which was utterly amazing to me. But in that moment, if there had been any slightest doubt in my mind that warfare was real, that erased all of it, because we have an active enemy who seeks to destroy the work of God and the effectiveness and testimony of the children of God, and to rob us of our peace and joy and virtually, if he could, our life.
And I'm wondering, does any of this so far sound familiar to any of you? Any set of circumstances? Dr. Mark Bubeck, in his book, The Adversary, he was shocked one night when his young daughter, his young Christian daughter, spoke to him in a male voice and said, "We are in charge." That book, The Adversary, what an eye-opener. And the situation that I described there prior to Dr. Copley sharing his story, it changed my life forever and set me on this path that we're on today, spiritual warfare. I could not believe that these things were happening to me. The question was, what am I going to do about it? That would be a question for you today, my friend. What are you going to do about it? Dr. Copley, one of those things that I get confronted with a great deal in talking with people is, I don't think you're dealing with demons here. I think this person has a mental problem. In fact, I hear that answer more than anything else relative to working in the spirit world. There's no spirits there. They've got a mental problem. They're hearing voices telling them to do things, and they need a Christian psychiatrist, perhaps.
I would start by saying schizophrenia is real. It's a malady, but not nearly as common as diagnosed. When a person is hearing demons talking to them, it can be accusations, it can be condemnation, it can be telling them to do evil things, to take someone's life. I've found many, many times when we deal with the spirit world, the mental state of a person will clear up and they will become normal people who are able to think rationally. Now, there's times when we have to get them hospitalized, they need to get on medication. I don't discount that at all. Another area is severe depression. I've seen times when people would deal with huge fears in their life and overcome them, that they would return to being able to live a normal life and return to being able to do normal functions. I think there is a lot more demonic activity that is diagnosed as being a mental illness than people would know. And that's one of the problems pastors have. They're too quick to call the police, or they're too quick to call the hospital, and not quick enough to call upon the Lord. I'll give you an example. Pastor called me and was having problems with a woman who was having fits of rage, and she would cut herself. And he felt that probably she was insane, but he asked, could this be something else? And I said, sit down with her, pray, bind the enemy, triple chain him, tell him to be quiet, step aside, and pray to the Lord and ask God to show her what's happening in her life. And the Lord did. He brought to her conscious mind some events that had taken place that had traumatized her, some people she needed to forgive, some lies she was believing, and God brought her to freedom.
99% of what you've been listening to on Southwest Radio Church this week is found in the new book, The Invisible War of the Saints, by yours truly. It's such a joy to be able to share with you and help you, my friend, in troubled areas of your life. Dr. Copley, let me ask you this. There might be people listening today say, that's for me. I'm ready to go. I'm going to get into demonic counseling. I'm going to attack the enemy today. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Go forth gently, my friend.
we laugh, but we know people who've gotten into big trouble. Just say, I'm ready. It takes some time.
Not only takes time, you need some information, you need some experience, you need to get with someone who's experienced in practicing warfare that can tell you the dangers and lead you in a way that will bring glory to God and healing to people. You also need some folks praying for you, and you need to be established in a good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church.
Oftentimes we have terminology, things that we have used through the years, quite familiar to us, but somebody listening might say, what is he talking about? Point, you've said more than one time this week that you are praying to triple chain the enemy. Where does that come from?
The Bible says a triple chain cannot be easily broken. And we have found in practicing, using that principle, ask the Lord to triple chain the enemy, bind him, gag him, silence him, get him out of the way. It's not the enemy we're dealing with, it's the person and their relationship with the Lord and sin. And once the ground is taken back, and once the Lord brings his healing and forgiveness and truth, then we can evict the enemy.
Let me add a very important point here. When you are delivered, let's say that we're working with you and God has blessed and you have been set free. The enemy just hates that. I would do revivals across the country and churches would pray and fast prior to our coming to the church and we might have a great meeting. Afterwards, I would get calls. I remember one coming back to us from Puerto Rico where the pastor said our church is in worse shape than it's ever been in. After you have had a revival, after you have been delivered, that's the time to really pray because the enemy is not happy and he brings extra forces back against you, my friend. You need to be in church. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be praying. You need to be serving. You need to be fellowshipping with other believers and be constantly in a good Bible-believing church. Okay, got carried away there. A little mini message, but I think it's vitally important. And I know that we preach that all the time to people. Set free, now's the time to get serious about the things of God.
A big one in our age today among men is pornography. That opens a humongous door to the enemy. Through bitterness, through anger, through drunkenness, through gluttony. God wants us to be free in Christ and to walk in Him. I remember one time a lady in the counseling room pulled out an ice pick and came at me. And I was able to say, in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop. And she froze and went and sat down and begged my forgiveness. I know a pastor that had a similar experience where a lady, and he had no experience in warfare, but a lady had a demon manifest and threatened him. He called the police and she was jailed for a period of time. Later on, I was able to counsel with her, see her come to Christ's freedom that he won at Calvary.
How exciting, Dr. Copley, and I need to share with our audience here in closing that I have seen you work untold hours with no financial remuneration whatsoever. I have seen you drive hours one way to help one person who had demonic problems. I know that your heart is the same as mine. We just want to see people set free and healed. That's what this whole program is about this week on Southwest Radio Church. Freedom in Jesus Christ. Setting the captive free. Oh, I'm excited for the opportunity that God has given us, my friend. We want to thank you for listening to the program today. God bless.
Invisible War on the Saints, the brand new book by Greg Patton, will equip you to be a victor, not a victim, in the spiritual battle that's going on all around us. While topics in Invisible War on the Saints, Victor or Victim, include exorcism, curses, channeling, strongholds, spiritism, witchcraft, sorcery, and binding, the end goal is for you to be victorious in Jesus. Greg Patton shares how to take the steps from victim to victor using scripture, godly wisdom, and the power of Jesus Christ our Savior to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Order Invisible War on the Saints book and DVD today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Invisible War on the Saints at our website, swrc.com. Invisible War on the Saints by Greg Patton, 1-800-652-1144. Friends, with our remaining moments together today, let's prepare our hearts and take just a moment to reflect and remember what Christmas is all about. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. From all of us at Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries, Merry Christmas. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.